Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, and thank you for joining us. Probably like you, I've been enjoying the relatively mild temperatures during the past few days, although it looks like this week temperatures are expected to get back up to above 90 degrees on Thursdays. On Thursday, it's supposed to go up to 97, with a run of sunny days lasting through the weekend. So, it should be said, though, that currently flash flood warnings are in effect in central Iowa, so stay a little bit clear of the rivers for the next few days. Over the weekend, as you have probably already heard, a Missouri man ambushed and killed three policemen and wounded three others in Baton Rouge on Sunday. Tonight, the Republican National Convention begins in Cleveland, Ohio. Stay tuned for live coverage of the convention here on KHOI provided by Pacifica Radio Network. That will start at 7 p.m. Coming to you live from the convention halls in Cleveland, Ohio, and from the streets where thousands are converging to be heard. And on a lighter note, KHOI is having its birthday this August. So we are 4 years old. KHOI is a baby radio station. We have survived for 4 years due to the diligent work of many, many volunteers. There will be a celebration on the 13th of August. Actually, a group of radio hosts and volunteers have come together to throw a birthday party for KHOI, and we are grateful for that. And they could use some help, so if you're interested in helping with the birthday party, there's lots to do. Planning a basketball clinic for children out on the street in front of the station. And if you like basketball, they need people to help referee the basketball games. They need folks to bake pies and to help serve food. And there's also a book sale in the works. So if you have any good books that you could donate to the book sale, a one or two or 25 or 50, bring them down. We would love to have some good books to sell to help raise money to pay for the KHOI operations. KHOI is located at 410 Douglas Avenue in Ames. And the easiest thing is just to drive on by and drop the books off. And also, if you would like to help with the basketball clinic or with the food, the best way to get involved is to call us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. So if you have any books that you can add, even if you just have one good book that you think would help, come on down. And like I said, the birthday party itself will be on August 13th. And speaking of books, it's time for our installment of free book reviews on the literary opportunities that are out there in the little free libraries. KHOI field reporter Isaac Beal is on the phone, and I honestly don't know where he is. Isaac, are you with us?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. It's like you're right here in the studio. So where are you, Isaac?
I'm on 13th Street and Marston. I'm right there.
Okay. And what's there?
Well, I feel like I kind of hit the jackpot a little bit, at least for the inner kid in me. we have The Wizard of Oz in here. It's the easy to read type, so it's targeting younger readers. And then there's also The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which is a Disney classic, but it's the original version, so you get it'd be a good thing to read, I think, if you don't know the actual story that they've written about it. And then there's also Charlotte's Web by E.B. White.
Oh wow, that's a find. That's a classic.
Yeah, this is one of the most popular books, I think, probably of all time for children's books wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then also by E.B. White, there is The Trumpet of the Swan.
Wow.
And then one of my personal favorite finds that I was able to locate in here is Seven Great Detective Stories. So basically, there's seven detective stories in the book, and as you read along, you can try to solve them, yourself. there's a bunch of different detectives, Father Brown, The Thinking Machine, and then Sherlock Holmes is even in the book. And I always thought mystery books as a kid were pretty fun.
Yeah. This is a great little library.
Yeah, I know. When I opened it, I was kind of surprised that they had all these big-name books in here. We have The Christmas Story in a picture book form. There's also books for younger adults as well, besides just children's stories. There's The Tortilla Curtain, which I've never heard of before, but it's about I'll read the description for you. It says, Topanga Canyon is home to two couples on a collision course. Los Angeles liberals Delaney and Kyra Mosbacher lead an ordered sushi and recycling existence in a newly gated hilltop community. He, a sensitive nature writer, she, an obsessive realtor. Mexican illegals Candido and America Rincon desperately cling to their vision of the American dream as they fight off starvation in a makeshift camp deep in the ravine. And from the moment a freak accident brings Candido and Delaney into intimate contact, these four and their opposing worlds gradually intersect in what becomes a tragicomedy of error and misunderstanding.
Wow, so a story of diversity in the melting pot.
Yeah, so that's pretty relevant, I would say, today.
Yeah.
What's been going on.
Yeah. Wow, so this is a very well-stocked little free library. What does it look like?
It's pretty packed. There's a whole bottom row of books, and then there's one shelf up top that's full, too. Like, it's shaped like a mini house, basically.
Uh-huh.
And then there's books, like, stacked up in a big row, and then some stacked on top of that, then a whole other row. So there's quite a few books in here, actually.
Wow. Wow, so you heard it here. If you're looking for a copy of Charlotte's Web to read to your children or lots of our detective books, where, again, is the Little Free Library?
On the corner of 13th Street and Marston. If you come down Marston Street, it's right there.
Okay, any other good books that we should mention?
Let's see, what else? We have The Knights of Cornerstone, and then... That is, this is a more, probably for a more adult reader. It says, now the world fantasy and Philip K. Dick award-winning author present the tale of a man summoned to answer his true calling. Calvin Bryson has hidden himself away from the world, losing himself in his work and his collection of rare and quirky books. But he never meant to let so much time go without visiting his aunt and uncle. Their tiny town of New Cyprus, California, hemmed in by the Dead Mountains and the Colorado River, isn't the kind of place one just happens upon. So there's a little mystery in this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it sounds exciting. I like fantasy books, so.
So how many books are in this little free library?
How many? There's at least 30.
Wow. And who does this little free library belong to?
I'm not sure. It's in the yard. I'm not sure
it's
who it belongs to.
It's in the yard of a private home?
Yeah, of a house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't see the address number on there.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your report. Isaac, have you had Charlotte's Web read to you when you were a child?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I used to watch the movie all the time. It was definitely one of my favorites.
Okay, well, that's exciting to hear that it's available here in town for somebody that wants to introduce it to their child. And thank you so much. Anything else to report before we move on?
Just make sure, like you said earlier about the book sale, if you have books, be sure to drop them off at the radio station because we could use them. And if you're looking for something to read, definitely keep an eye out for the free libraries.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks, Isaac. Appreciate you
no
getting
problem.
Up and doing this. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we're starting out today after a weekend of national tension and violence. We're starting out a little bit on a lighter note. We're looking at the little free libraries around Ames, reviewing the books in them. Just in case you don't know the little free libraries, they are getting hard to miss. They're the little houses on poles that are springing up mostly in front yards along the street, and they look like doll houses or bird houses with front doors. But when you open the doors, they're not full of bird's nests. They're full of books. There's actually a nonprofit organization in Hudson, Wisconsin, called Little Free Library, which is the organization out of which this movement emanates. And this is now a worldwide movement. Individuals can purchase little library buildings from the organization's website, and for a fee they can register them with an assigned number on the organization's website, littlefreelibrary.org. However, most people just create their own library, often to look similar to their own houses or to reflect their owners in some way. The Ames Tribune has a little free library in front of their office building on 5th Street in Ames, and local KHOI literary correspondent Zach Neierdorf filed this report about what he found there.
Here I am at the Free Little Library right outside the Ames Tribune. It looks like a little barn. There's also a wasp that interrupted my visit at first, made me a little startled to open the hatch to find the books inside. But now that I'm in here, there's an interesting array of titles. There's a book called Esperanza's Box of Saints. The nice glossy silver cover. Looks like magical realism from the illustration on the front. There's also a book authored by Newt Gingrich. We have our conservative representation. It's called Winning the Future. There's also The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks, probably the most popular title in there. After we remove some books, we see that there's a second row behind, offering more selections. Oh, there's a fitness book, very thin, suitably. The book is thin, and the title is Peel Off the Pounds as Easy as 1, 2, 3. Pick the plan that's perfect for you. The book is so small, mind you, I can't imagine there being more than 4 plans. If they go into any amount of detail, that'd be credible. There looks to be some scientific info in here. There's talk of vitamins and different nutrients. And there's also illustrations of females doing sit-ups. That looks like a fun read. I might actually check that one out. Looking to get my summer body in shape for the remaining months. Oh, and here, thrusting us into the opposite direction, we have a novel, Exile and the Kingdom. We also have some, well, this looks like a 9/11 conspiracy book. To be honest, I don't know if there is a great irony in having this book outside of a newspaper. Also, I'm just speculating that it's conspiracy. It's a New York Times bestseller, but then again, what's not these days? I feel like that label gets slapped onto anything. There's also a title called It's Not My Fault. It's by two doctors, Dr. Henry and Dr. John. What are they proclaiming is not their fault? And do they have credibility to be calling themselves doctors? It has no cover, and because of that, it's almost the most alluring. I want to open it up. I'm going to. Well, okay, it's a dating manual. So, after you pick up the weight loss book, come by and pick up the dating manual. Your perfect thin boyfriend or girlfriend existence is available in your little free library at your local Ames Tribune. How wonderful. There's some authors I don't recognize. Don't you just love the smell of old books? Even if you're not interested in reading, just come by to any of these little libraries and just stick your head in, get a good whiff, and be something to gawk at for the passerbys. Okay, so we also have a book called In Her Shoes by Jennifer Weiner, and the cover is predictably of Cameron Diaz in the movie adaptation. I've seen the movie, not the book. I probably watched the movie with subtitles, so in a way you could say I read the movie before I read the book. Okay, and then we also have Tough Boy Sonatas. Ooh, I'm reading the back and I am honestly shook. This is great. Okay, I'll read a little. I assume what's on the back is a poem. It's called Hypnotics. Here's a BAD analogy for the roach. It gets drawn in to bad degrees of garbage, to the HUM of rotting nasty pheromones. If nasty's all you got, you'd be downright nasty like the rest of them. You can get drawn in by a teardrop booty walking trick down the street, but she, who maybe he, has bills to pay too. And hustlers hustling run pyramid scams to make wads of paper look like they're packing. And Cadillacs. Okay, I can stop now. You get the gist, but really, it's quite intoxicating. I think we've been through most of it. I might actually take a few. So if you do stop by the Ames Tribune Free Library, don't be surprised if you cannot find Peel Off the Pounds as Easy as 1, 2, 3, because I probably stuffed it in my purse and am now slowly walking away.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and we just heard a little free book review submitted by Zach Neuendorf for KHOI. He was at the Little Free Library in front of Ames Tribune. We're taking a look at the Little Free Libraries for a few moments this morning. The Little Free Library movement began in Hudson, Wisconsin, with an artisan named Todd Bowl, who paid tribute to his mother, who was a librarian, a school teacher, and a book lover. In 2009, Todd mounted a wooden container designed to look like a one-room schoolhouse on a post on his front lawn and filled it with books and stuck a sign on it that said, "Free Books." This caught on, and he made more to give away, and the idea spread quickly, and eventually he and an entrepreneurial partner named Rick Brooks decided to make this somewhat adorable little project into a mass movement. Todd Bowl and Rick Brooks were inspired by many former national and international book exchanges and campaigns to make books publicly available. One was particularly important to Todd and Rick, that of Andrew Carnegie's campaign to fund and build free public libraries around the end of the 19th century. When Todd and Rick started the Little Free Library movement, their goal was to get more Little Free Libraries built than the number of libraries that were built by Andrew Carnegie. Their website, littlefreelibrary.org, reports that as of June 2016, there are at least 40,000 Little Free Libraries available worldwide. So one can say that they exceeded their expectations by far. I looked up their inspiration, Andrew Carnegie, and found out that he built a total of 2,509 libraries, which is a lot less than 40,000. But they were a little bit bigger buildings. They were built in far-flung places, Britain, Ireland, Canada, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Serbia, the Caribbean, Malaysia, and Fiji. And there were 1,689 built in the United States. Now, as you may already know, that's what's interesting to us because Ames is one of those 1,869 locations for U.S. Carnegie Libraries. The Ames Public Library was built in 1903 for $16,000. So it can be said that today's little free libraries that you see around town are the direct descendants of the Ames Public Library. Interesting how that happens. Coming to us live from the Ames Public Library is KHOI correspondent Dalton Gackle and Jerry Hyde.
Hello, we are here.
You are at the Ames Public Library, which is a Carnegie library. Tell us what's new at the library.
Well, first things first, we want to talk about the children's mural that was just unveiled about a week ago. For those of you who haven't been in since then, the mural is about 90 feet long and about 5 feet tall, and it is like pages in a storybook, little medieval land, some outer space, some monsters, kids playing in the streets. Here to talk with me about that is Jerry Hyde. She is the Youth Services Manager. Jerry, how did this mural come about?
So about a year and a half ago, the Art Committee of the Ames Public Library Board commissioned Tim Reed, a local illustrator, author, children's author that actually lives here in town. So it's a computer-generated mural. No one got up on scaffolds and started painting it. It was all pre-done, and so it was a pretty amazing process. But it's full of vibrant colors and wonderful characters that are showing the importance of reading, and so that the viewer, just like the reader, can put themselves into that painting and become that character.
And where again is the mural?
In the youth section of the library. So when you come in the front doors and then you turn left and you walk down, and there is a large space of books that aren't in traditional shelves, look off away from the windows. So Jerry, how has the mural been received by the public and the children?
So when they do come into the children's area, people are looking for that mural. When they walk through the children's section or into the children's section past the desk, they're looking all around and they typically can't see it because you have to go like farther into where the storytime room is at, and then you have to kind of look up. I wish I could have a picture of all their faces and their facial expressions and recording their sounds, because it's like, oh, you know, so they're just in awe of what has happened to this wall because it's so full of vibrant colors. And the little kids just look at it for hours because there's lots of different things that they can see.
We're talking with Dalton Gackle and Jerry Hyde, and they're in the Ames Public Library looking at the new mural. Dalton, you can see the mural from outside, can't you?
You can certainly see through them and see the mural. That the mural faces the big windows out front along Douglas. I'd like to ask Jerry, so how does this mural fit in with the rest of the theme of the children's area of the library?
So when the architects designed the area, they had two themes in mind. One was pangrams and the other was agriculture. And so that we have the barn doors and the seed bins and those types of things in the area. But it's the pangrams and her pangrams that they that Tim had really taken out of the children's area, and then as this mural stands, so that 90 feet at the very end or on the north side, it kind of breaks out into all those different shapes, the parallelograms, the triangle, and the squares, and kind of breaks down and from the book to down to the bottom of the floor where the carpet is at, it then turns itself into those shapes, that pentagram, that old Chinese ancient puzzle, and it's sets there and rests there for the eye to rest as well.
The bookends I talked about, they're in those shapes, and they're also on the floor, part of the carpeting design. So the mural really fits in with the rest of what has already been at the library.
That's very nice. Well, thank you. Dalton, does Jerry have any other announcements from the library before we move on?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
So, Jerry, you wanted to talk about some stuff happening with a Harry Potter theme.
Yeah, we've been celebrating a semester of Hogwarts at APL all summer. So on Saturdays, we've been having the movies and showing them each week, one movie at a time, which we know there's eight of them. So we're not quite finished because we're going to end up right before what we're calling the battle, the Harry Potter books. So the seven books are going to be trivia questions, or questions from those books are going to be asked three different types of groups. So if you have a group of family members that would like to become a team to battle against other teams of families with Harry Potter trivia, you can join them on the August 18th from 5:30 to 8. So I invite anyone that is a Harry Potter trivia fan to participate in this. It should be a lot of fun. We have three different battles, initial battles, a family one, a team battle, and then an adult battle. The teen and adult battles are on August 20th. The teens are in the afternoon. The adults are after hours, after the library closes. And so those three winners will go into a Harry Potter Triwizards tournament the following week on August 27th. And they will receive a Triwizards tournament award, just like that is in the stories themselves. So in order to participate, you can go onto our webpage and out into the kids section and sign your team up. There's also a frequently asked question paper that's out there that you can take a look at before you sign up to see all the different rules and the different questions that we've had.
Jerry, could you give the website one more time, please?
AmesPublicLibrary.org. On the left-hand side, you want to go to the youth area. Click on that link, and then it's a picture of a library with some clouds, and it's on the book cloud.
Okay, all right. Great.
AmesPublicLibrary.org.
Okay, and that's Dalton Galco, and he's talking with Jerry Hyde, and they're at the Ames Public Library reporting on what's new. Thank you, Dalton, for the update, and thank you, Jerry, for joining us. Thank you.
back of the creek now. Trespassing on the fence, being eaten by the trees, being eaten by the trees.
Skunk River Song by Lindsay Nissen. Shout out to Reliable Street. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, and I am pleased to embark on a whole new regular monthly feature this third Monday of the month. Welcome Lauren Franson, Director of Communications and Marketing of the Ames Chamber of Commerce.
Thanks.
It's great
and,
to be here.
And Dan Culhane, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Ames Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning.
Okay, so this is a brand new segment. What should we call it? I think you were calling it Get to Know Your Local Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
We'll come up with a shorter name.
We'll come up with a catchier name, yeah.
So let's start just by asking who and what is the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah,
and it sounds like a stupid question, but...
It's a good one, though, to know exactly what the Chamber is. We are located here on Main Street in Ames, and basically our Chamber of Commerce is a nonprofit group, member-oriented.
Would you call it a business association?
Yeah.
Yes, we're a business organization, and we work to improve local businesses, and really the overall goal is to make Ames a better place to work, live, and play for everyone that's here.
Lauren's right. We're a membership organization. We've got around 600 members. We're pushing 100 years old. Neither
wow.
Lauren nor I look that old, but we've been in the Ames about 100 years.
Definitely not.
And, we are a membership organization first, yet there's a responsibility of organizations like this in markets of this size to maybe do more than just serve their members. And so you'll see us engaged in a number of issues. A few years back when the Furman Aquatic Center came together, we were actively involved in being an advocate for that. And so we're an advocate for our members, but we're also an advocate for community and community betterment and community involvement. Candidly, that's why we're a major sponsor of KHOI Radio. We see the benefit of the greater good. And as a Chamber of Commerce, I think we've got a responsibility to be actively engaged and supportive of a wide variety of things across the community.
Well, we appreciate it. So it's a community-building organization as well as a business association. That's what I hear?
Yeah, in many ways. You know, in a very metropolitan area, you'd find a Chamber of Commerce to be strictly involved on government-related issues and things of that nature, or large-scale projects, you know, community betterment projects. And, you know, we're involved in... We support the Main Street Cultural District. That's one of our affiliate organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make sure they've got office space and they've got the infrastructure to be successful. You know, Lauren and I talked about a little bit of what we were going to talk about today, the Psy statues all around the community. That's another project at the Chamber of Commerce, actually our Leadership Ames program from 2 years ago. And so it's things like that that I think sometimes people assume just happen, kind of fall in the hands of a Chamber of Commerce, whether it's in Ames or someplace else.
How many members do you actually have?
I think right now, sitting at about 550, that number is constantly growing.
What exactly is a member? Are they organizations or strictly businesses, or who becomes a member?
Anyone can become a member. We have other nonprofit organizations that are members of the Chamber. We have organizations that are members of the Chamber. It's a really wide variety of businesses and groups and names.
Yeah, you'll see large corporations, but you'll see churches and nonprofits, the service clubs in town. It's a variety of people.
This is kind of a very fundamental conversation because Chamber of Commerce is our very common organizations mm-hmm. in all across the country. And yet it's one of those organizations that, you know, they're so common that you actually don't ever really think about exactly what they're doing.
If you've seen one Chamber of Commerce, you've seen one Chamber of Commerce. They're all different.
They're all different.
It really depends on the fabric of the community and the industry types and things like that.
So what does an organization or a business get from being a member of the chamber?
I think people and organizations join the Chamber of Commerce here in Ames for a variety of reasons. Our large companies may join the organization because they want to be supportive of the community, and they want their employees to be engaged in a variety of our networking events, our business after hours, our golf day, the steak fry, things like that. Mm-hmm. Others may support the organization because they like one of the groups that we support. The Ames Main Street Farmers Market is one of our groups, one of our organizations, and you may join because you want to be supportive, directly or indirectly, of the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership development, we do a lot of leadership programming in the mm-hmm. chamber. Our government relations program is very active.
So it's an opportunity to learn as well as to contribute to the community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now, what is the difference between an affiliate and a member? There's a distinction there, right?
Yep. An affiliate organization of the chamber is just one of the groups that works closely with the chamber. And then a member would be a business uh-huh. that's in Ames. We're an umbrella organization, so then our affiliates kind of fall under the chamber. Most of them are housed actually in our chamber office, except for Campustown, and they have their own office in Campustown.
So who are the affiliates?
We have, I believe, 6 affiliates. Young Professionals of Ames. Ames Economic Development Commission is an affiliate of the chamber. Campustown Action Association. The Ames Foundation actually just became an affiliate of the chamber.
And is the Main Street Cultural District?
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. that's what I'm forgetting. Main Street Cultural District right here is mm-hmm. affiliate of the chamber. And then the Ames Main Street Farmers Market isn't technically an affiliate, but they are a program of the chamber, and mm-hmm. they're housed in our mm-hmm. in our office location.
Okay. And you basically cover Ames.
We've got members from Story City, from Nevada, from Huxley, in the Ballard community. We're predominantly Ames, yes.
Uh-huh.
And then from the economic development standpoint that the AADC works through, we do economic development everywhere in Story County with the exception of Nevada. And so we've got a contractual agreement with Story County, and then we also have a contract with the city of Huxley. So we are actively involved in economic development programming in those parts mm-hmm. of the county.
Yeah, actually, the first time I ever met you, Dan, was you were giving a presentation to the Huxley City Council.
That's right.
And I was there giving a presentation at KHY.
That's right, yeah.
So you recently located to Main Street. Can you talk a little bit about what that decision was about?
Yeah, so our office used to be down on South 16th Street in the Aspen Business Park, which we were kind of with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which was great because we a lot of times are working towards similar goals in the community, but we really wanted to be in a more central location in the heart of our community. And so Main Street was really, you know, where we kind of wanted to be. The space became available. And so we made that move in the middle of winter. I think it'll be 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
this December. I feel like it's changed the feel of what we can bring to the community. We're just physically more centrally located now. We have a presence, you know, on Saturday mornings during the farmers market. It's just easier to feel part of the community when you're in the middle of it.
Has it changed at all the outlook of the chamber itself? Has it influenced you at all?
I think so. Lauren's right. We've changed as an organization by being downtown.
Can you explain?
Yeah, I think we're much more customer focused because we see our customers every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were in the Aspen Business Park, and we had a great relationship with the Randall family that owns that park, and they treated us really well. You had to almost make a phone call first to see if Lauren or Dan or Amy or whomever was in the office, and now you can just drop in, and you'll find somebody. I also think we've got the infrastructure downtown here in the space to support and facilitate a lot of things that go on downtown. You know, Firefly Country Night was yesterday and last night, And if you went into our offices last evening, it looked like a tornado hit it. But yet it was a great place to lay things down. And of course, it rained. And it was a great place to kind of set the table for that event. The farmer's market is right in front of our offices. And that makes it much, much easier to facilitate a lot of things that go on with the farmer's market, too. And so by being downtown in the Central Business District, there's a lot of advantages, certainly for us, but also we think for our members in the greater community.
So it feels more natural in a way. That's what I say, what I hear. It's a kind of more of a seamless connection to what's happening.
Well, it is, and you know, you think about it. We're a community organization, and yet we're out along Highway 30.
Yeah.
Great space, great visibility, and great location. If you were trying to explain to someone where you were, if they were coming to Ames to visit you. At the same time, it's not hard to explain how to get to 304 Main Street either from Interstate 35.
Yeah, we know the feeling.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what is going on. I mean, what are some of the projects you're doing? There's a number of projects that you've already mentioned. Is there one in particular that you'd like to talk about first?
Well, Farmers Market is a big thing during the summer, every Saturday from 8 until 12:30, there's Farmers Market going on Main Street, which we love. Again, it's right outside of our office.
I want to say something about that, too. I have a personal connection to that.
Yeah.
My mother was actually the person who introduced Farmers Market to Ames.
Oh, wow.
Is that right?
Yeah. She did it because she was Swiss. Her mother would go every day to the Farmers Market in Basel, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do it with my grandmother. It was beautiful. And that memory of going to the farmer's market with her mother, she wanted to bring that to Ames. So she introduced it in the 1970s. Now, that was, you know, a long time ago, and certainly things didn't look then like they do now. But I have to say, every time I go to the farmer's market now, it just means so much to me personally because I look at it and go, well, Mom, there it is.
Yeah.
the city's really doing it now. So
we're glad she did that. You know, we're in our sixth year of managing the market downtown, and Lojine Peterson does a spectacular job.
It's beautiful.
The variety of vendors,
yeah,
the musicians, the balloon.
It's really beautiful.
People that come and give balloons to kids. Yeah. It's a fun environment, and it's good for Ames. It's certainly good for downtown in our estimation.
Why do you feel that it's good for Ames?
I think it's good for Ames because it's something else. It's another thing you get to do. You know, I talk a lot about how in a lot of communities you have to do. You know, we have to figure out how to rid the community of this contaminated plant that vacated 20 years ago. There's this big building on the edge of town. We don't have those issues here. We talk about how to underwrite and support farmers markets, radio stations like KHOI. Dog parks, aquatic centers, this miracle park that some community leaders are talking about right now. That's something that in many places they wouldn't even be on the drawing board. But we get to do that because we've got strong businesses, a wide variety of businesses, but strong businesses that can support those things. And at the same time, we've got many people who have the wherewithal that live in our community and a university that sits in our community that can ultimately support, underwrite, and enrich programs and projects like that.
So we can focus on quality of life.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you do that I thought was interesting is the Leadership Ames Project. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Each year there's a class, we call them Leadership Ames class, and we always have many people apply, and it gets narrowed down to about 24 people. And it's a year-long session. They go through different aspects of the Ames community, learning what goes on in the Ames Power Plant or what happens at City Hall. And really, it's just a great opportunity for up-and-coming leaders in the Ames community to get connected with people that are doing important things here in Ames. But one of the main focuses of that is a class project. And so sometimes they're divided into four different groups, but each year the groups will pick a focus of something they think the community needs or something that would benefit the community, and then they spend their time developing the project. And the size statues were actually one of those projects. The class decided they were going to work together as a whole class and did fundraising, did advertising, figured out how to really make the project work. And it's just really cool to see the group of people come up with something that they think Ames needs and then completely implement it in just a year. They go.
So the leadership group thought of the idea of doing the size statues?
I think the idea had maybe kind of been floating around Ames, but no one had mm-hmm. really wanted to latch onto it and make it happen. And so they just ran
they
with it.
It up.
They
uh-huh.
Yeah, connected all the working pieces between Iowa State and the city and the artists, and they got them out there.
Was it a successful project?
It was way more successful than we even thought it was going to be.
Agreed.
We still have calls about, where's Super Sai, or are you going to fix this Sai and get him back out? It's one of those things, kind of like the farmer's market. It just adds so much atmosphere to the community, and you still uh-huh. see people out there taking pictures with them.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
it is definitely a successful
yeah.
project.
They're yeah. fun.
Yeah.
In our leadership program, Ursula had also mentioned, is really a way to introduce Ames and Story County and the university and Mary Greeley and local government to people. Our goal, and when they finish that process, they may serve on the park board or on the Little League mm-hmm. board or be an active, more active member of their service club or whatever it might be, or take on a cause in the community. It's really, we like to think of it as a training ground because there's a wide variety of ages there. You don't just have to be 25 years old and be in your first job to go through Leadership Ames. We have a wide variety of ages and backgrounds that go through that program every year. And really, we see it as an kind of maybe we're almost selfish about it. We want people to be engaged in the community on the backside of that,
mm-hmm.
whatever it might be.
And who applies to it?
Oh, applications just came in. I think the deadline was a week ago Friday. I think we had 35 or 36 applications, and you'll see folks from the city, the university, Mary Greeley, manufacturers, R&D companies in the research park.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a real mix of folks and backgrounds and disciplines that apply.
How do you decide who to choose? What's the criteria?
They have a committee that goes through all the applications mm-hmm. and really looks at, there's essay questions that they have to answer, and people are welcome to apply. If you didn't get in 1 year, you can apply next year. So mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. always a good group, though.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going into our 30th year, so it's been around a long time, and I often say it's kind of our flagship program. I think we do a lot of things really well, mm-hmm. but our Leadership Ames program is one of those that we really like to talk about first and foremost, because there's a lot of people that have been through the program over the last 29 years, and we get great support from a wide variety of audiences in the community as people go through that process.
Well, you described the Sai statues. Are there other results from that program that can be seen around Ames that we may not appreciate came from that program?
The 4th of July parade was actually a Leadership Ames project from, oh gosh, probably 12 years ago. Bringing that back, glass recycling in the community, different posts throughout the community was something when I first got here. I've been here 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
A number of our nonprofit organizations, if they've got needs for, I remember 1 year, one of our nonprofits needed a new driveway at their place of business, and
mm-hmm.
one of the groups raised money to make sure the driveway was replaced. And so there's a wide variety of things, and it really depends on the group, the class,
mm-hmm.
and the
changes every year.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Hmm. Well, this is Local Talk on KHOI, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg. I'm speaking with Lauren Franson, who's director of communications and marketing at the Ames Chamber of Commerce, and Dan Fulhane, who's the president and chief executive officer of the Ames Chamber of Commerce. And we're kind of kicking off a new segment on Local Talk where we're going to have Dan and Lauren and maybe others from the Chamber come in regularly just to update us on what's happening with the Chamber. And I'm excited to find out what we'll end up talking about in the future. Today we're kind of focusing just on what the Chamber is. And is there a National Association of Chamber of Commerce's?
Yes, there's a statewide group called the Iowa Chamber of Commerce Executives. That's more or less a peer group for people like Lauren and I.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the American Chamber of Commerce Executives, mm-hmm. which is the national organization. Same thing, only
right.
it's...
But like you said, I get the impression that each chamber kind of does its own thing, though. It's
yeah,
not a,
it really depends on the community.
Program.
Now, when we go to our statewide conference or our national conference, there's still best practices and
mm-hmm.
things that you pick up that you say, hey, we should try that in our community.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's really, it really varies from community to community based upon industry type and needs of the community
mm-hmm.
and issues in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if our unemployment rate was 11%, our Chamber of Commerce would look a lot different than it does in a market where the unemployment rate is 2.5%.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
If we didn't have Workiva and REG and mm-hmm. Danfoss and BASF and a very vibrant research park, we would probably think about different things than we do every mm-hmm. day.
What I get from talking to you this morning is that you feel you are building community in a situation where you get to increase the quality of life instead of take on really serious social and economic problems. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's our response. It's incumbent upon the Chamber of Commerce and people like Lauren and I to showcase how great Ames and Story County are. Mm-hmm. And we do that to an external audience often, but we don't do it enough locally. You know, if you've lived here a long time or you've lived here as long as I have, I've been here 10 years, you know, it's easy to kind of fall into that rut of thinking that, well, it's just the way it is, and the infrastructure we have and the parks we have, they're fine. But actually, if you step back from that, we are in a very enviable position here in Ames, Iowa as a citizenry. This is a wonderful community. The assets and the infrastructure, the employment opportunities that exist, the social and cultural opportunities that exist throughout our community, the trail system, and the things that we continue to talk about, expanded bike paths, the Miracle Park, things like that. Look at the new school infrastructure we have in our marketplace right now. I think the last elementary school building in the Ames School District is going to open here this fall. We've got a lot to celebrate, and we've got a lot to be grateful for. And I think it's incumbent upon the Chamber of Commerce and other groups like that, not just the Chamber, to continue to remind people that, hey, they're not talking about the same issues in another community. We've got a lot of good here, and let's celebrate that, let's promote that, and let's build upon that.
I'm looking forward to hearing your monthly features.
We're full of good news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really. Anything else you want to mention before we close out?
We've got a lot of great events coming up. If you're interested in checking out some of the fun things that we do, our annual steak fry is coming up on Tuesday, September 6th. It's going to be out at Ames Ford Lincoln again, which is always a great time. Grill your own steak. There's a vegetarian option, too, if you don't want a steak. But it's just a fun time to hang out with the Chamber community, get to know people that you might not otherwise in your day-to-day work or life. Other than that, we have a couple legislative luncheons coming up. Those are, again, unique opportunities to interact with the City Council or the Story County Board of Supervisors that maybe you don't get a chance to be in front of and hear from them what's going on in their worlds.
What is your website so that somebody could look up these things and find out?
Yes, we have information on all of those events at our website. It is ameschamber.com.
Okay, thank you. I'm speaking with Lauren Franson and Dan Culhane. Before you leave, can you just say something just on a personal note about why you do this? I know, Dan, you're not from Ames. Lauren, I think you are, right?
I am from
you
Ames,
grew up
yes.
Here. What has it meant to you to be on the Chamber?
So I did grow up in Ames. I went to Ames High School and then Iowa State University, majored in journalism. And it's been really fun being an employee of the Chamber just because I actually had no idea what a Chamber was before I took this job. And I really, after I graduated Iowa State, thought I'd kind of done everything here in Ames and knew what Ames was about. But working at the Chamber has just opened my eyes to the business community and so many things that make Ames great. I just love bragging about Ames even more. So it's been really fun.
So it sounds like you're going to stick around for a while in the Chamber and
yeah.
work on it. That's great. And Dan, you're not from Ames, right?
No, I'm originally from Minnesota, and I was an Iowa State student. I graduated in 93. Long time ago, but you know, I joke that I've bounced around Iowa for the last 20 plus years, running chambers and economic development groups. I've been here the longest. I've been here 10 years, and the reason I came here and the reason I stay is that this is a vibrant community. The university makes it vibrant. The people make it vibrant. Every day we get to come to work and work on some really cool things. It's easy to sit and think about and work towards ways to make Ames better rather than trying to solve all of Ames' problems. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we don't live in a utopian world at 304 Main Street. We know there are issues in this community like there are anywhere. But I think there are plenty of opportunities here that we mm-hmm. get to be actively a part of. And we don't do these things alone. We do these things in partnership with a lot of organizations, certainly local government, certainly Iowa State University, and a wide variety of people. And so that's why I do what I do, because every day is different, and we get to have an impact on a wide variety of things throughout the community.
Okay. Well, I'm really looking forward to rolling up my sleeves and having some discussions with you in the future about both issues and opportunities. And let's talk a little bit about what happens on the business side. And thank you for being willing to come on regularly and talk about these things. And I think it will help build community to have some of these things go out on the air and build understanding. So thank you very much.
We are too, Ursula. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I've been speaking with Lauren Franson and Dan Culhane from the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Earlier in the show, we got reports on what's available at the little free libraries around Ames, and we got an update from the Ames Public Library on their mural. And their website is amespubliclibrary.org. The Ames Chamber of Commerce has their website at ameschamber.com. If you want to learn more about the Little Free Libraries, that's littlefreelibraries.org. Local Talk is on KHOI at 7 a.m. and noon and 7 p.m. And you can also hear this entire show again at khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeese. Thank you, Jonah. And our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards. And you also heard the Skunk River song by Lindsay Nissen. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as the audience is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.